That's your test. To unsee it when the world thinks it happened is the test. And we're all trapped in it, usually. And so when that doctor says this or that and the other thing, that's fine. That's his belief. That's the material truth. But it isn't the spiritual truth. And it's up to you to know the spiritual truth when the material truth is pronounced. In the face of spiritual truth, so-called material truth dissolves. Then in our closet, we have all our guilt complexes. The things we did in our earlier unspiritual days still haunt us. I was reminded of this by a letter the other day from a young man I don't know. And after he had explained his problem, I felt his sincerity. It seems that under the state of alcohol, he had done a lot of things he shouldn't have done. And he had involved other people. Some of the things were irreparable, it seemed. He had hurt his wife, and he hurt another woman, and he hurt this one, and he hurt that one. And he was really penitent. He wanted to know what he could do about it. But mostly, he couldn't get rid of his guilt. And he was working hard to find a way to get rid of his guilt. And you and I, possibly in our earlier days, we would have been the ones to make him feel more guilty. And yet, just as Christ wasn't crucified, the Christ of this individual did not commit a crime, was not an alcoholic. Material sense appearing as an alcoholic is the criminal. But the reality of that individual cannot commit a crime. He had never touched his own reality. He had never had anyone to see his reality or to comprehend it. And he lives with a guilt complex. And I'm certain we know many people like that, and possibly our own selves. Now then, if you still retain a guilt complex while saying, "Thank you, Father, for your life," you're in a state of duality. I don't care what anyone has done. Once they come into the knowledge of Christhood, once they come into the knowledge of one life, you must abandon the guilt complex or you're not in the knowledge of one life. And you must extend that privilege to everyone and unsee their guilt themselves, yourself, for them, no matter if they can or not. There can be no guilt in your consciousness for yourself or anyone else. Because once you have come into the awareness of your true state of being, without opposite, the Master has said, you have been lifted above condemnation. And so once you see someone else in their true state of being, you must also lift them above condemnation. To be worthy of the divine life, you must extend the full privileges of that divine life infinitely to everyone you meet. Thank you, Father. I can take the whole alcoholic movement into my consciousness now and see that alcoholism is a universal belief and redeem the guilt of all those who, in some way or other, through their temporary awareness only of a human state, have in some way infringed upon the rights of others. And I will hold that consciousness if that is my project. And if it isn't your project, you simply do it when you meet those types of people, rather than on a universal scale. But one day you're going to learn to redeem everything on a universal scale rather than an individual scale. And it's just as well that you start on a universal project now. It may seem universal to the human mind, but it's really a universal misperception, because the only reality is your infinite self everywhere, the divine celestial substance. If you reach a state in which you feel very confident about yourself in your project, there's no reason why you then cannot invite someone else into your project with you and share it with you. Out of it, many things can happen. Many things can happen. You could even start an entire club devoted to that project. We want to see waves spreading outward now, so that these things that are prevailing disturbances in the world do not go unchecked by the true consciousness of the Spirit. We want to be spiritual centers all by ourselves. Some of you have anticipated this little talk tonight by maybe 10 or 15 years, by being spiritual centers. And some of us have still that distance to go. Now then, the second project was, the first rather, was to develop the thank you list that you could believe in. The second was to establish a universal project in which you apply thank you, Father, by seeing the truth of it. And now a third project, and that is to take into your confidence when you have reached some degree of strength in this project, someone else, and train them. Teach them what you have been doing. Explain to them how they can do likewise in a similar project, or the same, or a different project. And so do your work very well before you train someone else. You are building your own private garden of truth in which you are doing the works, not theorizing. And as you permit the Spirit to enter through, you will find that it will do the works for you. You're pouring a little oil out of the cruse. Just a little. But pouring, doing, starting the flow, trusting by doing the works. It's only when the deeds begin that the trust is really a real trust. When it's a trust in theory, it's nothing. We're becoming a doer, each in our own way. And if you cannot find a project that you feel is right for you, the chances are that you would not do well with a project that someone else would suggest to you. It should come out of your own meditation. And that's probably where you should start to find it, in the quiet, letting the Father lead you to your project. Don't ask anyone for advice about how to find your project or what project they recommend. That will be a human decision. It must be ordained by the Father. Let the Father build the house. And you will find that the Father will go before you in that project. It will prosper if you do it that way. In this external world, there are certain appearances that are very ugly. And when they're very close to home, they're very disturbing. They happen all the time, and I've noticed that some of you have responded to them in a very beautiful way, with a great deal of understanding about them, a great deal of detachment, maybe a little fear, which would be natural at first. But still, you've overcome that fear. And those of you who have talked to me about these things know what we're talking about. Now, when you have done that, and it has struck home to you, that is a sign to you that that's your project. That's your project. It's come to you that way. And so you take that on a universal scale, and you begin to unsee that which God did not put on this earth. That's your project. That's why it came to you. Not to defend yourself, but to see the universal lie. Not the individual lie, the universal lie. And I hope I'm making penetration to those of you who have come to me with these problems that have come into your awareness, and you were fighting them on a personal scale or detaching yourself from them. Now I want you to make them a universal project. Bearing in mind that you are the living Christ. And even though you're not getting up on a cross, you're crossing out a false belief in human consciousness. Let us meditate now and see if you can find your project. If you've already found it, then let your meditation be, Father, clarify it for me. Precisely what is the nature of my work to be on this project? How will I do things? Where will I begin? What pace? Will you be doing it through me? How can I become more of a transparency to your infinite consciousness? Open my soul. If you believe on me, the inner Christ, the infinite Christ, the eternal self, as the self of your being, the works that I do ye shall do, and greater works shall ye do. While you are entering into the greater works, perhaps just as a child at first, the Father who seeth in secret will hear you as you are faithful to your identity. In your fidelity to self, you are saying, "Thank you, Father." And the Father will hear you and will know you are acknowledging your identity. And as you acknowledge me in all thy ways, I will direct thy paths. I will build your house. I will open your soul. I will take you into paradise. I will even perform the works through you. And when you hear me as I hear you, you will know that the works are being done. And you will discover that the works already are done. Because you are moving now in the finished kingdom of God, where all is. Thank the Father for the finished kingdom of perfection. Thank the Father for the perfection that is everywhere present now. Thank the Father for the pure spirit without opposite, the indivisible spirit. Thank the Father that the self of everyone is an indivisible self, which can never be what it appears to be to human sense. And this is your acknowledgement. And as you continue, you are acknowledging in all thy ways. And the greater works will appear. First little twigs, and then little blossoms. The buds are already there. Your recognition of identity will make those buds blossom. The blossoms are already there. The fruits are already there. All is present. The perfection is already there. Accept the present perfection in your project and abide in it. Not wavering into prodigality. Not stepping back out of the tree of truth. The false tree in which man suffers is only a shadow of the real tree. When you stand in the real tree, the shadows will disappear. You are now becoming an effective, active agent of the Spirit. Not a student. Not someone outside learning, going in to find something, but someone actively living as the invisible self. I could give you dozens of suggestions on projects, but I don't want to. It should come from your own withinness, because that's where you'll succeed. There'll be no personal glory in this. No one will know what you've done. I don't want you to send me a report. I don't want you to let the steam out of the kettle. Do it. You'll have your own reward in secret. I think what you're going to discover is that you'll be in five projects before you realize it. There's nothing like a little success. Now, I know that when two or more are gathered, there's supposed to be more power, but I also know one with God is a majority. We're all going back to different areas. Wherever your area is, Christ is. There are still group projects that people can carry on while they're doing an individual project. That won't stop any group activities. This is something you do for yourself. The group project can continue. Now let's go again at this external world and whitewash it. We have a spiritual universe here. We have a Christ universe. No one sees it. We see everything else. And only Christ is here. We are going to uphold that God is all without opposite. And if spirit is all, and if spirit is omnipresent, the illusion of flesh, the illusion of matter, must be caught with a thank you, Father, for the infinity and omnipresence of spirit without opposite. And if you cannot enter that consciousness and hold it, there's no good you're going to do in your project. Because we're not trying to heal a material thing. We're trying to realize the presence of the Spirit. And as you realize the presence of the Spirit, it will manifest the qualities of the Spirit. Do you realize that within this room, if we select projects that are divinely ordained, that our projects are universal and wide, worldwide in scope, flung all over this universe? Do you realize what one enlightened consciousness can do, though the world knows it not? And what 10 can do? And what about the bread you cast out upon the waters? What will it do for you? It will multiply your blessing. As it flows out of you, more flows in. You see, we have been stagnant until we begin doing these things. We've been hiding our light under a bushel. And when we let it flow, then the sap on the mystical tree begins to infiltrate our entire life experience. We become growing things instead of stagnant ones. You won't have to go out knocking on doorbells with a quiz pad under your arm. It's all done within your own consciousness. Although, if you are led by the Spirit into some human contacts, you must see that they are spiritual contacts. I think you're getting the feel of what you're going to do. Now we have a great high rate of accidents, a great high rate of prenatal problems, a great high rate of abortions, a great high rate of alcoholism, a great high rate of divorce. Oh, you can just go down the list. And on one of these, you are in some way a spiritual expert. But if you fall into the trap of thinking that the high rate of this and that and the other is something actually there, you're lost before you begin. And so I've got to emphasize it. It isn't there. Because God did not create it. And it is your function to reveal that it isn't there. Not to correct it, but to reveal that it isn't there through your integrity in infinite consciousness. In about 5 hours, they will discover an empty grave. We want to learn that lesson so well that we can walk this earth knowing the incorporeal nature of true man revealed, proven, demonstrated by the Spirit of God, appearing as form to the human sense. That all flesh is illusion, that only spirit is here, that spirit is never divided from itself and never enters into that which is illusion and never forms itself into illusion. And we must dwell with this until the Father hears us. When you are certain that you are not in a form, you have learned a lesson. And until you know that, the message of the crucifixion of Christ is just an historical fact for you. You are not in a form. You are an infinite spiritual being with an infinite spiritual body, eternal as your Father, never born, never dying. You may not have caught it, but the Christ was telling us that when we go back into bodies, we have walked into our tomb. And when Lazarus steps out of his tomb, it is a sign for us to step out of our sense of body, which is our tomb. Until you succeed, you're fighting the battle of Armageddon daily. The flesh and the spirit war. The flesh usually wins. But when enlightenment comes, when truth is so important to you, when something has perhaps shocked you into truth, that battle of Armageddon is won, not lost. And the spirit dissolves the fleshly concept of life. We appear in it. We walk in it. We seem to live in it. But something else has happened. It's a daily battle. It's a battle you must wage knowingly, using every weapon at your command, which means your truth center. And that capacity to restrain the false world mind in you, which says you are form, which is vulnerable. That's not the Christ way. Now, everyone has to face this on a different level. At one age, it seems to be a lot easier. At another age, it's not. When we're just young and bursting with life, we say, I can't do that yet. I'll do that 20 years from now, maybe 30 or 40. Age doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with it. Consciousness has nothing to do with age. You're not going to stop drinking water because you decide that you're not in a form. But you find that when you have decided you're not in a form and want to live that way, you will do things quite differently without realizing. It's a very subtle alchemy. It might be that instead of alcohol, somebody will start to drink water, for example. Something does really happen, and it always happens where it had to happen, where it couldn't have happened unless you made the change in consciousness. When a man decides that he is spirit, not flesh, if he had been a thief, he just can't be one again. There's no way. In other words, the qualities that we wanted to remove just slough off because they don't exist in this consciousness. Something happens. We like ourselves a lot better, too. We become what we really felt we were all the time. Instead of like Paul saying, the things I would not do, I do. We're all that way. Until we feel the Spirit come over us, and then we don't feel the impulse to do the things we would not do. We stroke, we don't slap. Don't think it's a give up everything type thing. It isn't at all. It's simply letting the Spirit be the starting point of your life rather than a thought in your mind. And then when you start thinking about children, there's an important distinction to make there. Mostly we teach our children to think about God instead of having our children let God's thought come into them. They're so busy talking about God and saying, now I lay me down to sleep, that they're not letting God's thought come into them. And you can train the child to receive God's thought instead of their thinking about God. It's the same way with an adult. We can turn ourselves around to let ourselves accept God's thought instead of our thinking of how we're going to do the thing. And then you'll find that all of these difficult roads we were afraid of crossing because we thought we had to give this up and that up aren't that way at all. Everything is multiplied, not divided in spirit. All our capacities are deepened, heightened, increased, and expanded. I think I'll leave you with your projects. Maybe you'll get started tonight. We don't know. And then, if you can, before you go to sleep tonight, I think this is a good time for you to dwell upon the fact that a Christ who was allegedly put in a tomb is not in that tomb now, but rather is in your room and is in your house and is in your consciousness. And the Christ they thought they buried is actually you. You were never buried. You were never crucified. But if you are that Christ, the world thinks it buried someone, and that someone is actually your own infinite self. That is truly the Easter message. You were not crucified. Think about that tonight before you go to sleep. I think you'll find at this particular time you can come into some very startling awareness. Do it alone. All by yourself. This is one time, as you stand in Christ awareness, that you want to see there are not two Christs, only one. The world tomorrow will celebrate that you have risen, but you have long risen before tomorrow. You never left your Father's house.
So I wish you a happy Easter now, and thank you.